Turn with me to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. A very straightforward and simple message this morning, but something the Lord's had on my heart for a couple of weeks. I thought that I was going to bring it last week, and I didn't. Numbers 22, beginning with verse 21 through 35. And the title of the message is The Good Adversary. The Good Adversary. So often we hear about our adversary, the enemy of our soul. Satan is the adversary of the brethren, adversary of God's people. But sometimes the Lord himself has to stand as our adversary, and we'll see what that means in just a moment. And it's not an adversary to destroy us, as Satan's goal is in our lives, but it is to reroute our lives into the perfect will of God. Amen. That we would walk in that perfect and peaceful will of God, where our soul finds peace with him, peace in him, and our life bears expression of that will of God in our lives. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day, and I thank you for the people of God. We come together today, this morning, to glorify your name, to worship you, to honor you, and to exalt you above all else. Jesus, receive honor and glory in the preaching of this word today. In your mighty, precious, and holy name we pray. Amen. Numbers 22. I want to go ahead and read the scripture beginning with verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went. And the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. So he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours to this day? Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his face and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you, because your way is perverse before me." The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it pleases you, I will turn back." Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. Sometimes we read this story, and I know that many read it and read it with the attitude kind of like they're reading a children's story that's fanciful and far-fetched. And you'll even read many commentaries on the Word of God where people will try to explain away the talking donkey. But you know, when we read the Word of God, if we read it for what it says, we understand that God is speaking to us something through this passage of Scripture. And just as the serpent was embodied, or the serpent was possessed, if you will, by the spirit of the enemy, of Satan himself, and spoke to Adam and Eve in the garden, and tempted her into eating of the fruit of the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Likewise, God, if he is able to take man from dust, to create man from dust, he's certainly able to put words into the mouth of a donkey. Amen. In Numbers 22, in this passage of scripture, we're reading about a scene that takes place in the life of many believers over and over and over again. I know that in my own life, I have pondered this passage of scripture in my own life, saying, Lord, is it I? You know, even as Judas at the table at the Lord's Supper and the others, as they spoke and said, is it I, Lord? Is it I? We always want to have an attitude of coming before the Word of God and letting Him speak to us and to bring conviction, because conviction means that there's something better and greater that He wants to do in our heart and in our life, so that we come into a more perfect alignment with what God has for us, in order that we might walk in the fullness of what He created us for. And so when we stubbornly ignore God, let's begin this way this morning. I'm speaking this morning, I'm not trying to, you know, if there's someone listening to me through the live stream or on the internet that doesn't know the Lord, I will certainly mention that before this message is over, but this message is to believers. And this message is to believers who have at some point in their walk with God come to the Lord and surrendered and wanted to walk with God and wanted to follow the Lord, wanted to do His will in their lives, but have fallen into this struggle whereby the flesh is ruling. And perhaps they're going through the motions. They come to church and they worship the Lord, and perhaps not in spirit and in truth, but they worship the Lord outwardly, and they sing the songs, and they know that God has called them, has spoken to them, or has dealt with them in some way in their past, or has opened a doorway of guidance, has wanted to lead them in some direction in the past, but for various reasons, as we will see in a moment, they've not heard correctly, or they've not seen correctly what the Lord is saying and what the Lord is doing in their life. The flesh is a stubborn thing. And when I say the flesh, you're students of the Word, you know that I'm not just talking about this body that we live in, but the flesh, the self-nature, that part of us that wants to stand in opposition against the Lord, that fights and screams against the work of the Spirit in our lives. When we stubbornly ignore God, God stands against us. Now understand how I mean that. I don't mean that He stands against us as one who is waiting like the cosmic God with a big fly swatter, you know, waiting to destroy us. No, He stands against us in that direction that we're going, because He wants to destroy that work of the flesh in our lives to bring us into correction, in order to bring us back into fullness, back into what He has for us. And so we find that He will do things, He will plan things, He will intervene in certain ways in our life that interrupts the flow of our own desires. Bear with me and follow this for a moment. God will so arrange circumstances, events, things in our lives as to interrupt the flow of our life going according to our own desires and the dictates of our own heart, because we have been His, because we have prayed and we have said, Lord, I thank You for coming into my life, and we have had His hand placed upon us. And when God puts His hand upon us, He doesn't let go very easily. Amen. And so He wants to reroute us. And I am speaking, I would not be preaching this if I did not believe that God brought this word to me in the last couple of weeks, in order to bring it to some who will be listening today, to teach all of us. But there will be some that find that they are in the place that we find this prophet of God in the passage of scripture today. Now, I know that many of you are students of the Word in such a way that you know there's a broader context to this story. And I'm not going to violate that broader context in any way. But there's the very complicated issue of how God had, how Balaam had chosen to go out of greed and God did not want him to go, and then God tells him to go, and then when he goes, God gets angry at him. You just have to understand that God is looking at his heart, and if God tells him to go, it's only with the understanding that if he goes, he should be going, listening to the Lord, ready to obey the Lord, but he's not doing that. He's going out of the motivation of greed in his own heart, because this enemy nation wants to give him money in order to prophesy a curse against another nation. And we won't go into all of those details this morning. But I want to repeat the statement, the flesh is a stubborn thing. You all know that. The flesh is stubborn. You know, Paul says in one place that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now listen, because that can be confusing. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I just said the flesh is strong, it's stubborn. What that passage of scripture means, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak towards doing the will of God. It is weak in the things that are right, but it is stubbornly strong in the things that are wrong. It leads you in the things that are wrong. Paul describes it in Romans 7, verses 14 through 15. I think you have that scripture. You don't have to turn there unless you want to. I'm just going to read it. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. And many people quote that passage of scripture as though that is an excuse. They will say, well, you know, even Paul, he did what he hated and couldn't bring himself to do what he ought to do. And all of those things, but that is not the intent of the passage of scripture, because if you read Romans and you read this verse as it is sandwiched into the context of three chapters that describe a person's journey from being the carnal or natural man to being a spiritual man. And in the midst of all of it, he talks about the war between the flesh and the spirit. And at the end of it, he says, praise God, we get victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's not Paul's intent that we use this verse in Romans as an excuse and we say, oh, even Paul did not do what he knew he ought to do. Paul is describing a part of our transition as we grow in the Lord and as the Holy Spirit empowers us to do the will of the Lord. But he's talking about how hard it is. And our flesh causes us to do things that we don't even understand, and we'll do the opposite of what we know that we ought to do. And then when we want to do what's right, we find ourselves without the power to do it. And so we find that Balaam goes on this journey in order to, through greed, to find recompense for bringing a curse against the enemy. And you will find yourself in places as you walk with the Lord where you know that God has begun, listen very closely, because our heart is so deceptive. Some of you are going through this, I believe, right now. You find yourself in the back of your mind, I don't know the spiritual terminology, in the back of your mind, somewhere in your mind, in your heart, you know, there's perhaps a way that God is trying to lead you. There is perhaps a thought that he has begun to emerge in your mind and in your spirit. There is perhaps just this direction that maybe you began to sense the Lord drawing you a certain way. And you don't even understand your own heart. And I don't understand my own heart. Because then you begin to rationalize. You begin to, we will deceive our own selves, will we not? Have you ever been aware that you were deceiving your own self? That when God begins to lead in a certain way, you won't allow that thought to go too far. You will find excuses and rationalizations in your mind, reasons to think that this can't be so, or that that's not God, or to not even allow your mind to go in that direction. Because if you allow your heart to go in that direction, you may find that you know that God is saying something that you think that you really don't want to hear, when we know that all of his ways are good. And any direction that he wants to lead us is a good direction. Amen? Yeah. But we will deceive ourselves and we will allow our thoughts to take substance in a way that we don't have clarity on what God is saying, but we have formed entire arguments in our minds against the way that God is leading. We're talking about divine guidance. We need divine guidance in our lives, and the Lord is able to give us guidance in these things in our lives and the way that He wants us to go. The Bible says in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. I know you're wondering, what does this have to do with Balaam? We'll get there in just a moment. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. That doesn't just mean, though it includes doctrine, it includes the things of God, it includes the truth of the cross, the resurrection, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the truth of prayer, the truth of God's greatness, all of these things. But it's also intensely practical. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth concerning that job. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth concerning the direction that God wants you to go. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth concerning that difficult relationship, that business decision that you're considering making. It will lead you into all truth concerning the career that you're seeking the Lord concerning. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth concerning your daily walk with God, your needs, and your future direction. In today's culture and in the future into which we are walking, how many of you know we need daily guidance? Amen. We need that. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth, all truth that we need for the things of God in our lives. In verses 21 and 22, we come into this dilemma, the donkey and the dilemma. Concerning the donkey. For Balaam has gone according to his own will. He's gone according to the plans and the designs of his own heart. And he has gone into this place where he is on the way to do something that is going to be against God's will. I'm just going to tell you this morning, as you walk more and more closely with the Lord, as you grow in the things of God and you grow in listening to the Lord, there may come a time when you're walking with the Lord and you have resisted, you didn't come out and say, God, I resist you. That's not generally the way we do it. But you've put it in the back of your mind and you've resisted thinking the thought that God wants you to think, the direction that God wants you to go. And I'm just going to tell you this morning that one of the greatest turmoils you can have if you're a lover of God is that you know God's leading you in a certain way. But you've got your heels dug in and you're staying where you want to stay, or you're going in a different direction that you want to go. God's tugging in one direction, but you won't listen to what He's saying, and He is pulling and you're digging your heels in. It is a calamitous place to find yourself. It's a difficult place in which to find yourself. Some of you may be thinking, I don't really know what you're talking about. I've never experienced anything like that. I'm speaking to people who are laying their hearts before the Lord at some point in their life saying, lead me, Lord. Guide me. I want you to govern my life. I submit my heart to you. I want my future to be wrapped up in your great purposes. I want to do the will of God in my life. I want to live a life, Lord, that pleases you and glorifies you, and in which I am useful to you in the things of God. And then to find yourself on a path where the Lord is not leading, and then to discover that He's standing in opposition to you. And as you see in this passage of scripture, Balaam does not see the Lord, nor does he understand what the Lord is doing until the very end. And many times it's like that in our own lives, until the Lord shows us so plainly and opens our eyes and we begin to see what He is doing. And so the donkey, I want to talk to you just a moment about the donkey before we go any further, because in our culture, donkeys are the butt of jokes. Donkeys are a funny animal. Donkeys are a stubborn animal, and they represent everything cantankerous and everything that we would not see as anything good. When we begin to look and say, what do these things speak of in this passage of Scripture? But in Old Testament times, the donkey was, number one, it was a beast of burden, but it was also an honorable animal. It was an animal that was ridden by kings. It wasn't until much later that horses became the animal that was ridden by those who were royal, that held a place of royalty. But we find that donkeys were ridden by kings. It was considered a majestic animal in the Old Testament. Today we know that donkeys have an extremely high IQ. They're smarter than dogs and smarter than horses even in many aspects. And they have what's called an emotional quotient higher than dogs or horses or most other domestic animals. They form an attachment with someone. We find that in the Word of God, though, that the donkey bears burdens. I want you to begin to listen with spiritual ears, because in this passage of Scripture, I'm going to be speaking of donkey as an emblem or type and shadow of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if anybody else teaches that or not. I'm just telling you that as I studied this out, the word that I believe the Lord has for us today, not some kind of private revelation, but just that in this passage, in this teaching, the Lord wants us to see something. And the donkey is like a picture of the Holy Spirit, and you'll see why, I believe, very clearly in just a moment. And the donkey bears burdens, and the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us to help in our walk with God, right? Comes along to help bear our burdens, to help carry us through the things of this life. The donkey is a strong protector. As I said, it forms an attachment with its owner, and it is a protector. The Holy Spirit is our shield and protector in the things of the Lord as we walk through this life. And the Holy Spirit, which is pictured by the dove, the Holy Spirit brings peace. The donkey is also a picture of peace. If you remember Jesus riding on the back of the lowly donkey into Jerusalem, coming as the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace. So here is the dilemma. We find that because of Balaam's greed, because he is motivated by greed, he cannot see. He can't see rightly. We find this over and over pictured for us in the Word of God. Eli being one of the most notable examples. Eli, as he grew old, he was not concerned with hearing the voice of God and the depth of the things of God and God's desires. He allowed sin to come in and to corrupt his way. And so his very eyesight, his very physical picture was a picture of his spiritual condition, because he was a man who had grown dim of sight. He could not see. Balaam can see, but he can't see spiritual reality right here. So he doesn't see as he proceeds along his way. The Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord, which is the pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of the Lord stands as his adversary. It says in the first couple of verses that we read that the Lord stood as Balaam's adversary in his way. Do you think that the Lord was wanting to get rid of Balaam? No. Do you think that the Lord had harm intended for Balaam? No. The Lord wanted Balaam to do his will. That's right. And so it says that he stood as an adversary in the way. I am stressing this morning like I usually don't do in a message. I'm stressing for all who hear my voice this morning, allow the Lord to speak to you this morning and say, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is the Lord standing in my way in the direction in which I'm going? It says the angel of the Lord stood in his way as an adversary against him. I find what a troublesome passage of Scripture for the believer. What an awful place to find ourselves, that the Lord would be standing in our way. But you're going to find this is filled with grace all the way through. It's the grace of the Lord that the Lord is standing there as his adversary. Christ standing in opposition to his way. Christ is blocking the forward movement of this supposed prophet of God. And you might say this morning and ask yourself, is it possible? Is it possible that I would be heading in a direction? This isn't to cause doubt for any who know that they are headed in the direction that God has ordained. But is it possible this morning for you that your path is being blocked by the Lord? Is it possible that He would stand as an adversary in your way? Let's not get confused concerning the donkey and my description as the donkey as an emblem of the Holy Spirit. Reading this passage, because you see that the donkey goes out of his way and even sits down in the inn, that you may look at it and think, well, he looks like the stubborn flesh to me. But we find he does not represent the flesh in this passage of Scripture at all. Balaam is the one representing the flesh. Balaam is the one operating according to flesh. And we find that the donkey is simply aiding the Lord in stopping Balaam from going forward. Now you're going to see this picture develop a little more fully, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you at salvation. And the Holy Spirit within you knows the things of the Lord. It knows what God wants for your life to help convey it to you. And if you in your own flesh are determined to go in a way that is in opposition to what the Lord has ordained for you, then the Holy Spirit is also going to work against you. The Lord will stand in your way, and the Holy Spirit will be working against you as well to try to bring you into alignment with what the Lord wants for you. Amen. I want you to see this picture very clearly. You may move according to the flesh, and the Holy Spirit may be within you, but you know, as students of the Word, that you can grieve the Holy Spirit, right? The New Testament says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. It says these things over and over. So listen to the picture and look at the picture a little bit more fully. The donkey sees the Lord, but Balaam cannot, because of his own disobedience, because of his greed. The Holy Spirit in you hears, sees, and knows the mind of the Lord. We're not going to turn there, but you know, because I've used it many times. One of my favorite passages is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And in verse 11, it's where it talks about the natural man cannot receive the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. But in verse 11 of that chapter, it says, who knows the mind of a man except the spirit within the man, the spirit of the man? And who knows the mind of the Lord except the spirit of the Lord? So we have, and then it goes on to say, we have the Holy Spirit within us so that we may know the mind of the Lord. But you have the Holy Spirit within you, and the Holy Spirit is the one who knows the mind of the Lord. In this passage of Scripture, out of the three, the donkey is the one who knows the things of God. The donkey sees the Lord. Balaam does not. The donkey sees the Lord, and so he acts accordingly as a helper to the Lord who is standing in the way of Balaam. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is our helper. And the donkey was not trying to only help the Lord. He was trying to help Balaam to see and to understand and to get back onto the right path. And so there are three situations of grace. Three situations of grace that we find right here in this passage that develop as we go through it. In verse 23, the donkey leaves the path, but he goes out into a field. I want you to see for a moment, this is the first incident out of the three. And so as he sees the angel of the Lord standing in his path, but Balaam does not, the donkey cannot go any further. He can't take Balaam any further forward, but Balaam is still kicking him on, spurring him on. So he goes out off the road into a field. He doesn't do that to avoid the Lord. He does that to help stop Balaam from going forward. Are y'all with me so far? And so he doesn't leave the path to avoid God, but to stop Balaam. And sometimes you and I are so stubborn. Don't say it ain't so, because it is. Sometimes you and I are so stubborn, and we will deceive ourselves and convince ourselves. The Holy Spirit will prevent a total disaster. The Holy Spirit sees the Lord's way for us. We can't even see it in the moment. Our vision is clouded. Our heart and our minds are blurry concerning the vision of the Lord, the things that the Lord is saying to us. And we are so determined to keep going forward that the Holy Spirit will redirect us to keep us from going in a way that's going to be total disaster because it is against the will of God. But notice the grace of the Lord. He doesn't remove him far from the path. He's just right off the path into an open field. A field in the Word of God is a place of fruitfulness, isn't it? It's a place of harvest. What does this mean? Well, it means that in your life and mind, I find that it's true. It's not that I'm trying to read something into images. It's just the fact this is truly what happens in our lives. The Holy Spirit will prevent us from going towards the disaster, but we keep kicking and screaming. We're not going according to the path that the Lord has ordained, and he'll just direct us off into a field, listen to me closely, a place that may even appear fruitful. We are still so deceived, we cannot see the truth. God has a way for you to go. And if you are stubborn and you avoid that way, he will allow you perhaps a season where because your heart, in your heart you love the Lord and you're not seeing clearly, in his grace he will allow you perhaps to even be in a good place. But it's not the place that he has ordained for you. It's not the way that he has said for you to go. And yet you're not far from the path yet. And so you're there in a place where you can see that there's some fruit, there's some good in your life, but listen to me. It is the place of lesser usefulness. It's less than what God wants for you. It's not the perfect will of God for your life. Balaam forces the donkey, and that's where he ends up. And then eventually, because he is so stubborn, he tries to force the donkey back into the path again. But the donkey is not going to go back onto the path because it's not the path of the will of God. In verse 24, we find that the second place, the second situation of grace, is that he comes to a place that is tight and it's narrow. I know that some of you that are listening to me are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. You were going in a direction other than the will of God and the Holy Spirit. You kicked and you kept spurring and you kept trying to do the thing or go the way that you wanted to go. And so the only thing the Holy Spirit could do would be to bring you into a constricted place. It says that there was a wall on one side, a garden wall. It would have been a stone wall or a fence. A wall on one side and a wall on the other side, and all you can do is try to scrape between them. It was a tight spot. And because it was a tight spot, he was still trying to force the animal to go back and get on the path that he wanted to go on. And so the donkey fights back against him. The Bible says that the spirit wars against the flesh in us, right? There's a war going on, and there is a fight going on between the Holy Spirit and our flesh nature. And it says that the Holy Spirit, we avoid this language today, but the King James Version says that the Holy Spirit of God lusts against our own spirit. Lust is desire. The Holy Spirit longs for us to be right with him and go in the way that he ordains, to hear his voice. He longs for that union and that communion with us. And we don't give it. We go our own way. And so there's a war. There is a constriction. And God will bring you. I'm speaking from experience. God will bring you into tight places where you can't turn to the right and you can't turn to the left. And in your heart, you know that you're fighting God. You know that your flesh is warring. But you just haven't come to the place of wanting to surrender. And this is what happens in that place, because it is a place of correction. It is a place of sometimes painful correction. And the Bible says that the donkey pushes back and crushes Balaam's foot against the wall. I can't help but think about Jacob as he wrestled with the angel of the Lord. And he came away from that wrestling match with a limp for the rest of his life. How many of you have been through a place of dealing with God? God dealing with you, and you pushed your way only so far, and you got wounded. You got hurt. And you carry that. God has given you grace for it. He bears you up. He's your burden bearer. But you'll always know that it's there for the rest of your life. It's something that's there. It's a reminder. It's a reminder of what God had to do to get you back onto the path. How many times we could save ourselves so much pain, so much correction, if we listened to the Lord in the first place. So there was a wall on each side. And I want to tell you this morning that if you're in that place, if you're in that place and you know that God is crushing you, if you will respond with a heart that yields, a repentant heart that responds and says, "Yes, Lord, put me on your path." Amen. I promise you that in the days, the weeks, the months, and the years to come, even that crushing will be a blessing to you. Amen. You will be able to look back and say, "Thank you, Lord, that you didn't let me go any further. Thank you, Lord, that you corrected me in that place where I was going stubbornly according to my own will. Thank you, Lord. Every day I'm reminded of this limp, or I'm reminded of that wound. I'm reminded that I had to go bankrupt because I did not listen to you. I'm reminded of that hospital stay where my own frame of mind, because of my own worries, my own sickness, put me in the hospital. Because I would not rest in you. I would not listen to you." That painful relationship where something was broken that perhaps could never be repaired because I was going my own way. Or many other losses, many other things. You know what they are in your own life, where you can look back and say, "God was dealing with me and I kept going my own way until I got crushed." But brokenness is a beautiful thing. We come to that place of humility, allowing God then to pick up those pieces and reshape our life and to put us on the path which he originally ordained. God is trying to wake Balaam up and open his eyes. He's trying to stir you and make you uncomfortable so that you'll open your eyes and what you'll see is him. And his desire for you. Balaam cannot see that the Lord is standing and that the donkey is reacting to the Lord. How many times we cannot see because of selfishness? We cannot see, and we don't even understand that the Holy Spirit within us is seeing the Lord and responding in order to deal with us. The third place of grace is the dead end. The dead end. It says in verses 26 and 27, I want to read those again. "Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left." In other words, it's the same as before, but it just gets worse. "And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff." You can push and you can push and you can come to the place that the Holy Spirit says, no more. No more. I'm not cooperating. I'm just sitting down, and you won't hear my voice again until you repent. I can imagine that donkey was braying through all of that out of the discomfort of the situation. And now he sits down for a moment and he's silent. And I believe that we come to a place where we won't listen to the Lord. We won't listen. He will allow that crushing, and he will allow us to come to a dead end where we can't do anything anymore. There's nowhere left for us to go. There's not another turn. There's not another direction. We've burned all of our bridges with people behind us. How many of you know people that they can't maintain relationships and every bridge is burned? You can't ever go back. And how many of you know that there are people that have just lost one job after another because of their own attitudes and their own rebelliousness? How many of you know that there are people that just keep going and keep pushing and keep pushing till they push everybody away? And they're pushing the Lord away as hard as they can, they think. So the things get worse for Balaam, and there's nowhere for him to go. And beloved, this is a good place. This is a good place. It's not God's perfect will, but if you've run that far, it means God's grace has certainly not run out, and that he has you in a good place. So the Holy Spirit refuses to let you move, and you are hemmed in on every side. I've heard people say, you know, Holy Spirit's just got me hemmed in. I'm just hemmed in. I can't move to the right or to the left. And by that time, they begin to wake up and realize there's nothing that I can do that's going to accomplish anything. This is the hand of the Lord. Here is the grace of God in your situation. Hopefully, if you have come to this place of the dead end, then like Balaam, God, you see, is working a work in order to bring him to the place that his eyes are opened. Notice, let's read this last part again. We know that he struck the donkey. Then the Lord opened the mouth in verse 28 of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, now Balaam is at a place. Listen, he can't kick that donkey and make it go any other direction. He can't force his way onto any other path. And now he hears. And the donkey says, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. How we get it so backwards. If you're in that place today, I'm asking you to listen to the Lord's heart in this. Why have you struck me? That's what the donkey said. Why have you struck me these three times? The Holy Spirit says, have I ever done anything but good towards you? Have I done anything other than offer you eternal life and a life of blessing here? To know the will of God, to have protection around your life. Have I done anything other than offer to help you and bless you, protect you, keep you, give you wisdom, give you peace with God that passes all understanding? Have I ever done anything but be good to you? That's what the Lord would say to those who keep kicking back. Why have you struck me these three times? What did I do but offer myself up on the cross of Calvary for you? Why do you keep kicking me? The Apostle Paul discovered it on the road to Damascus in his rebellion and in his own self-will. And the Lord says to him, why are you persecuting me? Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? But when we've walked with the Lord, we should know. We shouldn't have to have the Lord say to us, why are you persecuting me? Why have you struck me these three times? Or let me say it the way it probably may be in your life. Why do you ignore me? Why do you not want to hear my voice? Why try to force me to join you in your own self-will, which is sin? Did I not open your eyes to the cross? And now you treat me like I'm a leper. In verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. He bowed down. He fell flat on the earth in repentance. All of this could have been avoided if that had been the attitude of his heart from the beginning. The Lord wants to say to us this morning that if we walk in daily repentance, if we have a desire to do his will, if we're willing to let him speak, he will lead us in the way that is right. He will take us in the direction that is truly fruitful, not just a field that's close to the path. He'll give us the right path where there's an abundance of fruitfulness in our life and where we know that we're in the center of God's will. I cannot stress this enough for those of you who are listening to me this morning and you're struggling perhaps with the will of God and you've heard me say it so many times, there is no place on this earth more beautiful than the center of God's will. I don't care if God sends you to the most vile place on earth in most people's eyes, if it is the will of God and you desire to follow him and do his will, it will be paradise for you. It will be the most beautiful place in the world. But if you are like Balaam and you plow your own way into what you think is going to be your little plot of paradise on earth, it will be nothing but a place of heartache, misery, and warring against the Spirit of God in your own life. Balaam's eyes were suddenly opened, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing, and he was overcome. This morning, if the Lord would just pull the veil back from our eyes, how many of us would see him standing in opposition to the direction of our life, in opposition to our thoughts, in opposition to our practices, in opposition to what we are planning to do? And then in verse 35, the Lord tells him, now go. I'm paraphrasing this, but in this verse, he tells him, now go and listen and do what I say for you to do. That's what he calls us all to do every day. Go. Go and now this time go and listen to me and only speak what I say for you to speak. And so Balaam goes and he honors the Lord in this. And he only does what the Lord tells him to do. And he finds that it's impossible in that attitude and that place for him to curse those that he is being offered money to curse. He still thinks he's not right. He still thinks somehow he's going to do it. But he goes and he does listen to the Lord and he cannot bring himself to curse them. God is determined he's going to have his way in this man. But how many of us, we have missed so much because the Lord was standing in our way and the Holy Spirit in us was cooperating with the Lord and we kept trying to fight and kick and scream. Can I just, before we pray this morning, can I just call upon you? If you would, just close your eyes this morning. Let's go ahead and prepare our hearts to yield things to the Lord.